Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Good morning, church family. Today, we're coming to the end of our series, the series that we've been walking through called Never Alone, Rediscovering the Necessity and Power of Life Together. And at the beginning of the series, I told you that this series wasn't in any way a reaction to the COVID-19 pandemic or the lockdown, but in fact, this series has been planned many months before the pandemic hit. We believed wholeheartedly and still believe that God has us right where He wants us in this time. The series was called Never Alone, and yet in many ways, many of us have felt alone, isolated from one another. The tagline was rediscovering the necessity and power of life together, and yet our circumstances have greatly challenged our ability to practically rediscover the necessity and power of life together. And so, as we've been saying all along, as everyone is saying, these have been unusual days. The word that we keep hearing, these have been unprecedented days. But consider this with me for a moment, loved ones. What if all that we've been learning from God's Word has been put in our hearts to prepare us as a church? What if all that we've heard from God's Word has been proclaimed not only to be applied fully immediately, but to be lived out most fully and most practically as the opportunities for regathering begin to become clearer and clearer? What if all that we've been learning has been designed by God to rid us in this time completely of the unbiblical ideas that we've so often embraced about what the church really is, in order to position us very strategically in this time for greater effectiveness and greater impact for the future? Loved ones, my prayer today and throughout this series has been this, that consumer Christianity is being obliterated from among us, that the people of our church will never come and approach our church with a "what have you done for me lately" mentality, but rather with a biblical and theological understanding of who we are as a church, sharing a common life together, one body in Jesus Christ. That's what this series has been designed to do and to teach us and to instill in us. Lord, I pray you've been doing that in us. Then our series took an unexpected turn. The world has been very noisy. You all know about this. Many of us have been very distracted and distressed. On the screen, it was Corrie Ten Boom who said this: "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest." And so, understanding that the most fundamental aspect of our common life together is God's presence in us and God's presence among us, we turned to the book of Psalms because we needed to look at God. We needed to look at God and hear Him say in the midst of the mess, "I'm taking care of you. I love you. I am with you." And so we end our journey today, again, looking at our God. I want you to take your Bibles right now and turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the title of this morning's message is this: God is Taking Care of Us, Part 2. We're continuing our exposition of Psalm 23 and finishing it today. And so let's read it together. Psalm 23, starting from the beginning, this is what the psalmist David says. He says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is where we're going to begin our exposition, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, loved ones, we've seen already in the first part of this psalm that God is taking care of us. We saw that there are six ways God is taking care of us. We're going to look at three more things today that are going to encourage us and edify us and instruct us in the truth that we all need to hear today, that God loves us and that God is taking care of us. So this is where we're going to start. I want you to write this down. God is taking care of us today. Write this down. We don't need to be afraid. God is taking care of us. We don't need to be afraid. Notice verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, here it is, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I love reading biographies. I was reading again about someone I've shared a bit about with you before, Johnny Erickson Tada. Her life was devastated one day in a diving accident. She broke her neck so badly, and the athletic 17-year-old girl's life would never be the same after that accident. Johnny Erickson Tada has lived as a quadriplegic ever since that accident. But if that wasn't enough, she was diagnosed with cancer several years later. Now, Johnny Erickson Tada reflected on Psalm 23. I want you to listen to what she wrote about this. She wrote this. It really is a favorite, isn't it? So comforting, so encouraging how our good shepherd leads us beside still waters and down paths of righteousness and how he restores our souls. But then there's that scary part. The part where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. She writes, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've thought about that verse in Psalm 23 when I was battling stage 3 cancer. My mastectomy didn't guarantee that they got everything. I remember waking up in recovery after my operation, and my doctor came over to my bedside. I had to ask him the question that everyone wonders. And so I said to him, did you get everything? Did you get all the cancer? That's when he got a serious look and explained that no, there was no guarantee of that because my lymph nodes were involved. When he left my bedside, I started reciting Psalm 23. But when I got to the part about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, well, that's when it struck me. God had led me into a very scary place. She writes, and I know you've been in scary places too. Places where the medical report was somber, or the accident was serious, or the tumor, or the obstruction, or the mass was pretty grim. Those are scary places, and we wonder just why our good shepherd would ever lead us into such a dark valley. Listen to what she says. She says, but that's where faith has a chance to grow and become strong. It's in those dark, scary valleys where his grace is abundant and his presence is especially near. It's where our need of him becomes more desperate and our dependence on him becomes more urgent. That's exactly what happened in my battle against cancer, she says. Even though I had to go through the valley of the shadow of death, I came out on the other side with my soul all the stronger for it. It's like the old saying goes, if God brings you to it, then he will bring you through it. Now, sometimes when we're walking through scary situations in our lives, we don't like hearing preachers say things like, God has a plan. God is going to use this. God is going to strengthen you through this. Maybe you're walking through a scary situation today and you don't really feel like hearing someone say that to you today. Well, I understand. I understand that, loved ones. But there's something particularly powerful that we just can't ignore. Here's Johnny Erickson Tada. In 1 minute, she went from young, athletic, beautiful, with her whole life ahead of her, to what seemed utterly hopeless, paralyzed, unable to dress herself, unable to feed herself, unable to bathe herself, unable to write by herself, to walk by herself, and later facing stage 3 cancer. And yet it is through the devastations of her life and the utter hopelessness that she had to face dead on that she discovered theology that would actually fill her life with true meaning. We would be wise to pay attention. When the psalmist David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's giving us more than just an abstract image. I want us to understand what the Bible is saying to us today, because it will fill us with hope and it will dispel fear from our lives. You see, David has in mind here the long journey into the high country. The shepherd would lead his flock throughout the summer months on this long journey through the valleys and up the mountains. On these journeys, the sheep would be completely alone with the shepherd. Now, what we need to understand is that this journey through the valley was very dangerous. David would have been completely aware of these dangers as he wrote Psalm 23. Now, Phil Keller wrote this. He wrote, all the dangers of the rampaging rivers in flood, avalanches, rock slides, poisonous plants, the ravages of predators that raid the flock, or the awesome storms of sleet and hail and snow were familiar to him. Listen, in the Christian life, we often speak of wanting to move on to higher ground with God. How we long to live above the lowlands of life. We want to get beyond the common crowd to enter a more intimate walk with God. We speak of mountaintop experiences and we envy those who have ascended the heights and entered into this more sublime sort of life. Listen to this. Often we get an erroneous idea about how this takes place. He says this. It is as though we imagined we could be airlifted onto this higher ground. On the rough trail of the Christian life, this is not so. As with ordinary sheep management, so with God's people, one only gains higher ground by climbing up through the valleys. This is so good, loved ones, that just like for the sheep, the journey through the valleys are necessary to take us then to the mountaintop, to the higher ground that God has in mind for us, that God takes us through the valley of the shadow of death so that he can take us to a higher ground. Philip Keller goes on to share this story. I had to share it with you. He shares his own experience. He says, I was keenly aware of this consolation when my wife went to higher ground. For 2 years, we had walked through the dark valley of death, watching her beautiful body be destroyed by cancer. As death approached, I sat by her bed, her hand in mine. Gently, we passed through the valley of death. Both of us were quietly aware of Christ's presence. There was no fear, just going on to higher ground. For those of us who remain on earth, there is still a life to live here and now, and there are still valleys to walk through during our remaining days. These need not be dead-end streets. The disappointments, the frustrations, the discouragements, the dilemmas, the dark, difficult days, though they be shadowed valleys, need not be disasters. They can be the road to higher ground in our walk with God. And this is so true. Now, some of you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and your question right now is, but how? How is that accomplished? How is that possible? I want you to notice what David says in verse 4 again. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, here it is, I will fear no evil. Why? How, David? Watch this. For you are with me. This is the key. For you are with me. You see, the absence of fear is not just found in the absence of danger. No, the absence of fear for the Christian is found ultimately in the presence of God. It is in the reality that the shepherd is with me, that I know he is here. I am confident. I believe. I have faith. I trust his promises. I will not fear because he is with me. That's the hope of the Christian life. Now, Billy Graham, speaking of the fear of death, said this. He said, it's a wonderful thing to die as a believer. I've seen believers die, and I've seen those who did not know Christ die, and there's a vast difference in the way they die. He says, an atheist only sees a hopeless end to life, but the Christian sees an endless hope. And whether it's actual death or the ongoing difficulties of life, David gives us the key. I will fear no evil. I will not fear death. I will not fear difficulty and devastation because in it all, the shepherd is with me. Loved ones, God is taking care of us. That's what he does. He is a good and faithful shepherd. Therefore, we have nothing to fear because of this shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. He is with me. Here's a question. Are you afraid today? Are you battling some kind of chronic fear in your heart today? He goes on in verse 4. I want you to notice it. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff were the shepherd's equipment that he would use skillfully. The rod was used skillfully, listen, to protect the sheep from predators. And the staff was used to guide the sheep through the journey, through the dark valleys of the shadow of death onto higher ground. What does this tell us? How can we overcome our fears today? Listen, loved ones, we must believe the truth of God's word. We must believe, and I'm praying that there is belief being stirred within us today. We must believe that the good shepherd is with us so we will fear no evil. We must believe that the good shepherd is guiding us, his rod and his staff of guidance. We must believe that the good shepherd is protecting us. That's his rod to shield us. We must believe such that even in the valley of the shadow of death, we can be comforted. we will not be afraid. Loved ones, God is taking care of us today. Wherever you find yourself with your specific fear, God is taking care of us, and God understands your fear, and he loves you, and he comes to you today. He comes to us today with the truth of his word. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd, my personal shepherd. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid today. Oh, Spirit of God, fill your people now with faith to believe that because you are with us, we have nothing to fear. That's true. God is taking care of us. We don't need to be afraid. Secondly, this, God is taking care of us. I want you to write this down. We don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be anxious. Notice verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Now, some commentators wonder if at this point in the psalm there is a shift in imagery here from a shepherd in the field to a host in a home. I'm not sure that there's a shift in imagery here, loved ones. Once again, Philip Keller is helpful here. He wrote this, "In some of the finest sheep country in the world, the high plateaus of the sheep ranges are referred to as tables. So it may be seen that what David referred to as a table was actually the entire high summer range." Interesting. So interesting that early in the season, the shepherd would go ahead of his flock to survey the land and the rough terrain. He would look over the land and consider how he could care for the sheep there before he brought them in. And just before the sheep would arrive, he would go ahead of them again to make sure to prepare what's called the tableland. He'd check to see if there were poisonous weeds on the land that the sheep may ingest, and he'd work hard to remove them. And you get this image in your mind, sometimes the shepherd would have arms full of weeds that he'd pulled out of the ground that were poisonous, that he knew the sheep would wander over to start to ingest it. He wanted to protect them. He would decide in advance where the safest place to sleep was. He would identify where they could eat and drink, where the slopes and hills were, where the deep and shallow waters were. Why? Why would the shepherd do this? Here's why. So that the sheep, oblivious as they were, could be safe, even in the presence of many dangers. Loved ones, notice all the effort that goes into caring for the sheep, and notice all the effort that the sheep are completely oblivious to. They have no concept of what the shepherd is doing. The sheep are so oblivious, they don't even know what to be worried about. The shepherd has gone before them and prepared the table so that they can be cared for again in the presence of all the danger, in the presence even of their enemies. Now, loved ones, consider this. This is so good for our souls today. Consider that every single day, God, our great shepherd, goes before us to prepare the tableland. Today, just consider this now and let your heart be filled with gratitude and faith and belief and trust. Today, our shepherd has already provided for us. Today, our shepherd has already protected us. That every single day, he protects us from things we don't even know we need protecting from. That today he's mapping out our course. Today he's ordering our steps. And all of this, listen, in the presence of so much danger, danger that we are so often oblivious to, but he knows it and he's going forward to protect us in the midst of it, because he sees more than we see. He knows more than we know. He is far more capable than we are. This is why, loved ones, we, the sheep of his pasture, we don't need to be afraid, and we don't need to be anxious. So many days go by that we are so anxious. Isn't it true? And we're so worried, and yet the reality that this psalm shows us is that we often don't even know what we need to be worried about. We worry about all sorts of things, but God sees a fuller picture, and he's taking care of things that we don't even see need to be taken care of. The shepherd has gone before us into the tableland to prepare the table, to make sure the tableland is safe for us, even in the presence of many dangers. Again, dangers that we may not even be aware of. That's awesome. Just consider that. Now, some of you may say, Jason, that sounds good, but I'm not able to apply that to my life today. I don't feel very protected. I don't feel very guarded. I don't feel very shielded because I'm actually wounded today. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you're saying, I can't relate, Jason, to what you're saying because I've actually been hurt. Where's my shepherd? Well, notice verse 5. David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here it is. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, consider this. Shepherds used oil to soothe the sheep's scratches and wounds. Anointing oil in the Bible also speaks of consecration. For kings, it was associated with coronation. The idea here is this: if you are hurting today, if you've been wounded today, it does not mean the shepherd doesn't love you. It does not mean the shepherd is not taking care of you. God is your healer today if you are wounded. God sees the deep scratches and cuts, the stabs to the heart, and he anoints us with oil. He is our healer. Not only that, but he cares for us in such a special way because we are his, set apart for him, set apart for his purposes. And so nothing can happen to you that is outside of his good plans for you. Now, look at verse 5. Verse 5 again. My cup overflows. That's a picture of joy. It's a picture of this reality. Once I begin to believe, once I begin to understand that the Lord Yahweh is my personal shepherd, that he is leading me through the dark valleys of the shadow of death, but he's leading me through that to build me, to take me to a higher ground. That this shepherd comforts me with his rod and his staff. He protects me and he guides me. And when I get injured and when I get wounded, this shepherd anoints me with oil. He is my healer. He loves to embrace me. He loves to heal my wounded heart. When I believe this, when I understand this, my cup overflows. That's when joy comes. Joy that can only be fully known when we believe who this shepherd really is to me. That we are his, the sheep of his pasture. He is providentially protecting us. All of a sudden, loved ones, when we believe this, not only does anxiety flee, but joy abounds. Well, I wonder how many Christians watching right now are living joyless lives. You feel like your cup is empty. It's not overflowing. And perhaps because we've fixed our gaze upon our circumstances, maybe we're fixated on the dark valley of the shadow of death. Maybe we're not finding the comfort we need in his rod and his staff, his guidance and his protection to comfort us. Maybe our perspective needs to be realigned today, and oh, how it can be. Renewing our minds with the word of God, it can be today. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yahweh is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You are my healer. You set me apart so my cup overflows. Lord, I pray that you would help your people to have overflowing cups today. Lord, I pray you would help us in the midst of our wounds and our scratches and our cuts and our broken hearts to find a healer in you. That's who you are, our shepherd. Well, loved ones, God has taken care of us. Today, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be anxious. One more thing. God has taken care of us. Write this down. We will never be abandoned. We will never be abandoned. Notice verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day, loved ones, listen to me. One day, all who have trusted Jesus Christ will be with him safe and secure for all eternity, forever. And on that side, we will look back and say with certainty and with absolute clarity, yes, goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life. Yes, God was so good to me. But David doesn't wait for that day. I want you to notice this. No, his faith gives him eyes to see it right now in the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of all his enemies, because God is his shepherd. He can know that one day I will be in the house of the Lord forever, but he can know now the goodness and mercy of God that is extended to him, namely in this fact that the God of the universe, Yahweh, the Lord, is his shepherd. And so he knows as long as God is my shepherd, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. The key is that he knows that Yahweh is his shepherd. Loved ones, do you know that? Do you know that God is your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Maybe you're walking through challenges and trials and hardships, and you've been trying to find other things to shepherd you, and there's no joy and there's no hope. And you don't look at your life and say, this is goodness and mercy. You look at your life and say, this is disaster. This is hopelessness. Is he your shepherd today? I want to close with this. Annie Johnston Flint was one of the greatest hymn writers. Listen to me now. Roland Bingham wrote her biography. It was called The Making of the Beautiful. Listen to her life. God is going to use this in our lives. She had a very difficult life. She was born, and soon after she became an orphan, she suffered tremendously. She got rheumatoid arthritis such that she was mangled in bed for many decades. She got cancer. She lost control of her bowels and her ability to urinate. She lived constantly in diapers. Soon after all this, she progressively became blind. Roland Bingham said that before she died, there were so many boils and marks on her body from lying in bed, she needed 8 pillows just to cushion her. Near the end of her life, she wrote this hymn. Listen. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when all our strength has failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Who can write such a thing with such suffering and torment marking her life? One who knows God as her shepherd. Fear and anxiety and feelings of abandonment, loved ones, they flee not in the absence of the struggle, but in the presence of the shepherd. If you need help today, you can come to the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. With the Lord as our shepherd, we will lack nothing. God will be all to us today. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, you, our shepherd, would lead your church into faith and belief and confidence in your comfort and your presence with us, such that even though we walk through dark valleys of the shadow of death, we can say with David, we will fear no evil. Your rod, your protection, your staff, your guidance, they comfort me. I will not be afraid. Lord, you go before us to prepare a table. Help us to believe and not be anxious in this life. You see everything before we even see it. You see things that we've never even seen. And oh, how I pray that for those in our church that sit in their homes right now feeling abandoned, feel worried, feel anxious, feel fearful, you would know, that we would know, oh Lord, today, that we will never be abandoned by our God. You are the good shepherd. You don't leave the sheep, Lord. You lay your life down for us. And oh, how I pray that many would find a refuge in you today. We love you, Lord. Lead us now as a church. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.